Today's music begins with two hymns on the chimes. I've got peace like a river, and rejoice, give thanks and sing, both of which relate to today's Philippians reading. The prelude is a piano setting of the familiar tune, Slain, which is set today to the text of a hymn after the sermon, Lord of All Hopefulness. Use the piano prelude to familiarize yourself with the tune, as you will be singing it soon. Today's opening hymn is Rejoice, You Pure in Heart. Be sure to look at the stanza assignments to sing along with our hymn leaders at the appropriate times. Next is the anthem, a socially distanced recording of Give Thanks to the Lord by St. John's United Voices, chosen with today's psalm in mind. This is the first time that this ensemble has made a virtual recording. Thanks to United Voices for being open to rehearsing and recording music in a new way. After the sermon is Lord of All Hopefulness. You can find the music and instructions for this hymn printed on the worship document. As you hear the introduction, read over the text and listen to how the tune is presented in a comforting and hopeful way, just like our Lord that we will soon sing about. Take note that the second stanza, sung in canon, one voice part entering after another with the same tune, will be sung only by our four hymn leaders. You'll hear the women voices, soprano and alto, sing first, followed by male voices, tenor and bass, entering a few beats later. You are invited to join in during the third stanza, in canon, just as you heard the second stanza being sung. Thanks to Reverend Sue, who is ringing the handbell part that you will hear during this hymn. Finally, the postlude concludes today's music with the joyful arrangement of the opening hymn, Rejoice, You Pure in Heart, this time in an organ setting by David Sherwin.
Thank you. As we enter into a time of worship today, I want to remind you whenever we gather together, near or far apart, that no matter who you are, and no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire in our time of worship today to meet you where you are and to share God's love, God's peace, God's comfort with you. So take a deep breath with me now. Invite God's Spirit of peace to fill you up as you inhale. And then exhale and set aside all the worries and anxieties of the day. And join me as we reflect on today's theme. Our theme today is praiseworthy living, words that come from our epistle lesson from Paul's letters to the Philippians, where he encourages them to keep their lives focused on anything that is worthy of praise. These words are not unrelated, however, to our psalm that Reverend Sue will read in just a bit, the familiar words of Psalm 23. Nowhere in this psalm do the words praise or praiseworthy appear, but as I thought about the context in which we most often share these words, there was a connection. At countless memorial services, we have spoken of the shepherd, making us to lie down in green pastures, leading us beside still waters, restoring our soul. We have comforted families with the reminder that even though they walk through life's darkest valleys, they have nothing to fear because God is there to comfort. But the thing that sticks out to me most is the reminder that a table has been set, a place prepared in the house of the Lord in which our loved one will now dwell. What strikes me most is that as we reflect on the life of a loved one we have lost, it isn't the long list of accomplishments or accolades or achievements or things done perfectly that makes their life praiseworthy or what we spend the most time talking about as we remember them. It is the simple knowledge that God loves them, shepherds them, leads them, comforts them, prepares for them, and dwells with them, even into death and eternal life. God is worthy of praise, and God's love for us makes our lives praiseworthy. Not what we do, but who we are, and in whose image we are made. Should we still strive to be the very best versions of ourselves that we can be? Absolutely. Is God keeping score? Never. May we come to live into our own praiseworthy lives, even now as we gather to praise and worship in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You to join me in praying our prayer of confession out loud if you've got the words in front of you from our Facebook page or website, or simply by listening and praying along. Let us pray. God of grace, praiseworthy living sounds awfully unrealistic and hard to achieve. We're human after all, and we confess that when we are being less than our best selves, so much of what we say and do is anything but praiseworthy. But we also confess that so often we confuse a life that is praiseworthy with a life that is perfect. Forgive us for forgetting that our lives are worthy of praise simply because we are made in your praiseworthy image. At the same time, help us to be the best version of ourselves and to act in ways that are true, honorable, just, and pure. Offer us grace when we miss the mark, and forgive us for forgetting that we are called to be present, not perfect. Inspire us when we lose hope in ourselves and others, and lovingly draw us closer when we stray from living in a way that reflects the praise we have for you. Amen. The good news this day and every day is that God does indeed draw us close with grace, with mercy, and with love. God does not require us to be perfect, but a life of faith requires us to be aware of God's presence and God's gift of forgiveness. Grab hold of that gift this day, allow it to transform you from the inside out, and share it generously with others. Amen.
Our first scripture reading today is indeed the 23rd Psalm. My guess is that many of you have learned this by heart, and perhaps long enough ago that you learned it in King James English. That sounds a little funny because we don't talk that way today, but it is beautiful poetry. And so I will share the 23rd Psalm with you in King James English, and you are welcome to join me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our second lesson comes from Philippians chapter 4, words of the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Philippi. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. These are God's words of promise and assurance for us. Today, as always, we give thanks for these words. Amen. And now a message for our young listeners and for those who are young at heart. Today I want to talk about something we all do. Worry. It doesn't seem to matter much whether we're 6 years old or 60 years old, 8 years old or 80 years old, 10 years old or 100 years old, and yes, we do have members of St. John's who are close to 100, and even a member who will turn 104 in December. Now, I realize girls and boys might worry about different things than grown-ups do, but you still worry. Maybe not about being able, maybe not being able to understand things that you're learning. Maybe about doing things for the first time or going places you've never been before. Maybe you worry about something happening to your parents or grandparents or your pets. Maybe you worry about not being able to be with your friends or getting sick from the virus that is all around us. I have a brick with me today. If you were here, you could see it. I brought the brick because when I worry, it feels like I'm carrying this brick around with me. Whether I carry it out in front of me, put it on my shoulder, or in a backpack on my back, it weighs me down. It keeps me from experiencing joy. It wears me out. Worrying does that. It can get the best of us, and it can ruin our days in more ways than one. It's really hard not to worry, isn't it? And God knows that. That is why we find these words in the Bible. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, which is a fancy way of saying, instead of worrying, pray. Tell God what is on your mind. Yes, let God know how thankful you are for the good things you have in your life, but don't be afraid to tell God about the things that make you anxious, that scare you, that worry about you, and ask God to help you deal with those things. In your Sunday school carryout connection for today, one of the activities you'll be invited to do is to trace your hand on a piece of paper. If you're one of our younger listeners, you may need a little help with this. So ask a parent or a grandparent or maybe even your older sister or brother to help you. You will learn that each finger on your hand, from your thumb to your pinky, can be a reminder to pray for different people and different things that are important in your life and in our world. When I traced my hand and looked at it, it also reminded me that when I pray, it's as though God or Jesus was taking my hand in their hand. You see, when we pray, God doesn't wave a magic wand and suddenly make everything better. Instead, God holds our worries and helps us find ways to let go of them, to deal with them. There's a prayer that many of our grown-ups know called the Serenity Prayer that reminds us of what is important to be praying for when we worry. The prayer goes like this: God, grant me the serenity, the peace, to accept those things I cannot change, the courage to change those things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. When I pray, God takes the brick I'm carrying and holds it with me, and that makes all the difference in the world. So what do you say we pray right now and ask God to hold our worries so we do not miss out on the joy this day holds? Let's pray. Oh God, how good it is to know that when we worry, we know where to turn. We turn to you, because you will help us with our worries. Worries that are real and scary at times, but worries that you will help us hold and let go of. So help us now to do that, and to remember that you are always within reach to help us when worries come. All of these things we pray in Jesus' name, remembering that he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.